The Bible reading is from Acts chapter 1, the first 8 verses. So, first 8 verses of Acts. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
Thank you so much, Lionel. I love that you read from an iPad and I read from paper notes. That's awesome. I do want to say a really warm welcome to everyone. I'm Kathy. I am one of the pastors here. You know, we're a large group this morning, but I'd love you to put your hand up if you have come to PBC in the last 5 years. Wow. If you're in the front, just take a look, keep your hand up, just take a look around. That's a lot of people. You know, we have been so blessed by the way that God is continuing to grow his church. And so we thought we'd kick off this year by taking 5 weeks to unpack our 5 key values. And, you know, it really is so that those who are new might have a better grasp of the church that you have joined, but also that those who have been here for a long time might also take a refresher. Values are the convictions that drive us to do what we do in the way that we do. We each have a set of personal values, but we also have a set of shared values as a church as well. And so values very much are a bit like our DNA, right? They are the thing that make us unique. And so you could look at our core beliefs as a church, and they would be pretty much the same as most mainstream churches. But our particular set of values are unique to us, or they are specific to our PBC community. So taking time to articulate our values is incredibly important. Sorry, I'm just going to make this work. Here we go. They can't just be statements that sit on a website. They do need to shape what we do and how we do it. And so as we unpack these values over the next 5 weeks, my hope is that you'll be able to identify where you see these values being embodied in our PBC community. But also, really importantly, as we unpack these values, that it will serve as an invitation to join with us in endeavouring to live these values together. So you ready? Our first value is dependence on God. Now, I don't know how the concept of being dependent on someone feels for you. You know, I think sometimes being dependent can have negative connotations for us. But can I just say there can also be positive dependence as well. Some years back, when Steve had more hair and I had less wrinkles, we went blackwater rafting. And essentially, we dropped in through a hole in the side of a mountain into an underground cave system, and there was a river running through this cave system, hence the rafting piece of it. And can I just say, I was not a fan of this idea, right? Confined spaces don't thrill me. Having to jump off rock ledges in the dark and jump wide enough so you don't hit the rocks at the bottom was not my idea of excitement. And rafting, which really wasn't really rafting, it's just floating in an inner tube, in a river that's only 9 degrees. Yeah, that just sounded cold. But you know, I have to admit, it was awesome. And you know, one of the things I think that made it awesome was that we had a brilliant guide. She knew every inch of that cave system, and she was able to talk us through our hesitations and lead the way. She kept us from danger. She guided us through challenges. She encouraged us along the way, but she also led us to places of incredible beauty as we floated our way through caverns that were just lit up by the light of glowworms. Without our guide, we never would have had that experience. We were completely dependent on her, and she took us to places that we never would have otherwise gone. This value of dependence on God is a bit like that. Ephesians 1 says that Jesus is the head of his church. One of our core convictions at PBC is that when we allow Jesus to be the head, that he does guide us and lead us to places that we didn't think possible. And some of it might feel extraordinary, but most of it, I think, will be wrapped in what just looks like ordinary everyday asks. Things that we might think don't really mean very much in and of themselves. A conversation, an invitation, a work opportunity, a kind action, you know, just seemingly ordinary things. But when those ordinary things are led by God and strategically placed by him, he places them into the bigger picture of his plan, and he does more amazing things than we can imagine. The point is, Jesus is head of his church. He is the one leading us. And so at PBC, rather than asking Jesus to bless our plans, we seek to discern his plans. Do you see the difference? We don't map out the adventure and have a 5-year strategic plan like you might see in a business context. We have a vision. It's over here on the wall. We know where we are heading. But we allow God to unfold the specifics of the plan. And so it's about listening to him, and it's about trusting him and following him in the adventure that he has planned. This is the pattern that we see consistently in Scripture. God orchestrates the adventure, or if you would prefer that in more theological terms, God plans salvation history. From Genesis through to Revelation, God has a master plan of redeeming people to himself. And as his plan unfolds, he calls individuals to join him in those plans. And so when God wanted to establish a nation of people whose hearts would be after him, he called Abraham. When he wanted to ensure the survival of that nation, he called Joseph. When he wanted to free his nation from slavery and give them a land of their own, he called Moses and Joshua. When God wanted to save other nations, he called Jonah to Assyria and Daniel to Babylon. And so it goes on. God takes the initiative in his salvation plan, and he calls individuals to join him in his plan. And we see this same pattern in the New Testament. He calls an unmarried virgin to give birth to his son. And then Jesus calls ordinary fishermen to join him as they fish for people. He calls Saul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew with a capital J, to be a light for the Gentiles. And in the process of doing that, he calls an ordinary follower, Ananias, to go and meet Saul. And against Ananias's better judgment, he prays for Saul, and God propels Saul into his plan. He calls a Roman officer, Cornelius, to fetch the apostle Peter. And at the same time, God has given Peter a vision. And so Cornelius and Peter together discover that God's plan really is to save Gentiles as well as Jews. God calls the disciple Philip to a desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza, and unbeknownst to Philip, he would meet an Ethiopian who happens to be reading from the Old Testament, who wants to know who the Messiah is. I mean, talk about a ready-made person of peace, right? Philip explains the gospel and the guy comes to faith, but he's not just any ordinary guy. This guy is the direct report. He's the treasurer of Ethiopia. His direct report is the queen, right? Talk about a man of influence. And so the gospel gets taken to spread through Ethiopia. Do you see what's going on here? God has a plan for the salvation of people, and it involves entire nations, but it also involves individuals. And so as God unfolds this plan, he consistently invites people to join him in the work that he is doing. But he is the one who's leading the adventure. And so it's little wonder then that when Jesus ascended back to heaven, that he instructed his disciples to wait. Don't devise a bunch of plans and jump into action. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Because it would be the Holy Spirit who would lead them step by step into the plan that he had. And he would put wind in their sails, empowering them to heal and to restore lives and to lead thousands upon thousands of people to Christ. And so what's the first thing that we find that the disciples do after Jesus tells them? Jesus returns to heaven in Acts 1. You know, they don't jump into action and go, I'd probably jump into action. But they don't do this. They don't just jump in and go, right, okay, let's get a map. What do we need to do in order to fill this commission that Jesus has given us? No. Instead, we find what Scripture says is that they constantly unite together in prayer. And the Spirit comes at Pentecost and they're off on God's salvation adventure. And as we've seen, the Spirit leads them consistently to places and people where he is already at work. And so it's with that understanding that our first value at PBC is dependence on God. Last week we harvested the fruit off our transformation tree. Every bead representing a life that Jesus had transformed in a significant way in 2023. There were 66 first-time commitments to Jesus last year. Some were recommitments. Some of them were stories of significant growth. Some of them were physical or spiritual healings. Do you know, I love that this tree serves as a constant reminder that God is calling us to be part of his salvation story. And he's continuing to write this story. It didn't finish in Scripture. He's continuing to write it right through until Jesus returns. Last week, we also renewed the soil beneath our tree, recognizing that as we each pray for God to move in our lives, but also in the lives of people around us, in the places where we're sent, and also in the ministries of our church, that it is God who makes hearts ready to receive Jesus. And also as we pray that we become more attentive to the ways that God is at work. And so we're better positioned as we pray, I reckon, to partner with him because we go in with our eyes open. If you didn't get a chance to write your name on a piece of soil last week, for whatever reason, maybe you weren't here, we want to invite you to do so today at the end of the service. And really, writing your name on a piece of soil represents your commitment to pray that Jesus will transform lives. And in many ways, it's really about us embodying this vision that we are dependent on God. We're not going to seek to do this in our own strength, but we will lean in and we will pray for God to do this. You know, this year, our tree won't flourish because of what we are able to do. It will bear fruit as we depend on God and as we partner with Him in the things that He is wanting to do in our lives and also in the lives of people around us who don't yet know Him. Like our guide in the Blackwater rafting adventure, He will guide us to trust Him. And it will mean probably us stepping into places that are unfamiliar or perhaps less comfortable for us. And yet, not unlike Blackwater rafting, I promise you that it will be the best thing that you do all year. Because stepping into the purpose that God has made for us, like, is the most fulfilling thing that we can do. Just in case depending on God or being led by Him might sound a bit mystical or a bit out of reach, can I just give you an everyday, ordinary example of how ordinary it really might be? And yet how God is working behind the scenes to make things happen. I think I told this story in an open mic, so couldn't work out which open mic it was, so forgive me if you've heard it. Last year, a few days before the art installation opened here at PBC, I was reminded of a unchurched friend that I felt like, you know, I really should invite her to the art installation. The problem was I hadn't been in touch with her all year, and I felt really bad that the first contact I made with her would be inviting her to a church thing. That's fair, right? And so in the morning, I told God about my predicament, and that evening, she texted me to ask whether I would like to catch up for coffee. And it created like the perfect opportunity for me to issue this invitation to the art installation. She enthusiastically accepted. But the day came that we'd organised to go, and I didn't feel very well that day. And so I thought of postponing. I took a COVID test, I was fine, but I thought about postponing. And in many ways, I would have preferred to have postponed. And yet, I proceeded to pick her up, and here we came. That morning, Iris May and Chris, who are two like really warm, warm women at PBC, happened to be hosting the space in our art installation. Well, they welcomed my neighbour like she was a long-lost friend. They hit it off so well that by the end of it, like, they're exchanging hugs and phone numbers. Seriously. Afterward, my friend commented over coffee. She said, you know, I didn't sleep very well last night and I thought about cancelling today. But she said, I am so glad I didn't. And, you know, God continues to woo my friend to Himself. And now Iris May gets to be part of God's adventure with my friend as well. They text more than I do now, which is fabulous. I just want to say it's remarkably ordinary, right? And yet there's nothing mystical about following God's lead. It's just keeping people on our radar, praying for them, and stepping out in faith as opportunities arise. God is writing the story, not us. And so we don't have to orchestrate the amazing coincidences or the winds. We just depend on Him and we play our part. Even on the days when we feel like we'd rather postpone, we trust Him and we keep stepping out in faith. And so dependence on God is about falling into line with God's plans. He has a salvation story that he is writing, and he is continually inviting us to be part of it. And so we make it our daily prayer, Lord, show us your plans, that we might partner with you in the things that you are wanting to do in the lives of people around us, no matter what the context is that we're in each day. Well, the second main way that this value is lived in our church is in our decision making. And I do love that Reuben and Ginny were commissioned today, because the story of how they came to be appointed is very much through living out this value of dependence on God. When our previous pastor, Trav, let us know in July 2022 that he had accepted a call to Narara Valley, we invited the diaconate and the pastoral team to a month of prayer and fasting. And it wasn't that we didn't believe that we would be able to find a pastor. It was that we wanted God to lead us. Steve sensed God asking him two questions. Who is your Apollos and who are your Timothys? In Scripture, Timothy was the gifted yet less experienced leader that Paul saw potential in and that he raised up. And so this question of who are your Timothys caused us to look to the generations under us, to really, you know, be very intentional, very focused in that. And so we increased Ben and Ben's responsibilities, and that's been a huge, huge blessing. We caused us to tap Talia on the shoulder to join us to become a kids and youth ministry assistant. And unbeknownst to us, God had already been speaking to Talia about that and positioning her ready for that ask. It's caused us, together with Ben Wilson, it's caused us to restructure our intern programs. And this year we're so delighted that we're going to have four interns join us in what we're doing in ministry in this place. And by the grace of God, he's positioned Matt Fitzgerald to volunteer a day a week to invest into our interns. You know, we just prayed and we lent into God's prompts. And at every turn, God has kept unfolding the details, because it was his plan to start with. The second question that Steve sensed from God was, who will be your Apollos? And in Scripture, Apollos came with experience. He was a significant leader in the church. And so during that initial month of fasting, before Trav left, we actually thought we had our Apollos. This is the uncut bit. No one has heard this story, I don't think, at a congregation level. Right. He had been associate pastor at another church for 18 years. And so we asked the diaconate whether we could sound this guy out. They said yes, and you know, the very next day, this guy had been driving back from somewhere, he'd gotten lost, he'd taken some wrong turns, and he said, I don't know why, but it's almost like my car led me to PBC. We're like, well, we might know why. And so we had a conversation with him, and we thought, you know, surely we've found our Apollos with circumstances like that. And he was keen, but as the situation in his church unfolded, he actually felt like he needed to stay there, and that was absolutely right. And yet this PBC ask at that time, it was actually about him rather than about us. It gave him such encouragement and hope to persevere in what he needed to do where he was. On our end, I think it slowed us down to go, you know what, God does want to be in this with us. And so it caused us to lean in all the more, to keep praying, to keep waiting on God. And I believe that really big time gap was actually really important, because it bedded down this value of dependence on God amongst our leadership team and our diaconate in ways that we hadn't previously probably lent in as strongly on. The amusing thing was that the very week that Trav let us know that he was going was the exact week that we met Reuben and Ginny for the first time in the kids' holiday program cafe. None of us knew at that point what God had in store. And it was a year later, after many discussions with other potential pastors and many red lights from God, that we shared a meal with Reuben and Ginny. And it was a casual catch-up. You know, this pastoral position wasn't even on our radar, was it? And yet, as we drove home that night, the Holy Spirit caught our attention. Could this be our Apollos? When God said, look for someone with experience, we thought it would be in paid pastoral ministry. But as it turns out, it's life experience and cultural experience, an experience living in step with the Holy Spirit and experiences in churches right across the world as significant volunteers. Our values and our hearts align. And we could see how Reuben and Ginny would fit the culture of our pastoral team and how they would embody the values of PBC. At the same time, unknown to us, the Lord was positioning Reuben's heart to reawaken a vocational call to ministry that he'd been resisting for 20 years. An excitement welled up within both of them as Reuben surrendered his resistance to God around that. Some trusted PBC intercessors who had been praying with us in the search just spoke affirmation at that point, and they gave us pictures that gave us confidence to proceed. The deacons did their own journey of discernment, and then of course we as a church prayed it through together, and we met together in December to make that decision together. So, you know, I step into this new chapter with Reuben and Ginny as part of our wider pastoral team with excitement. Not because they come ready-made with all the skills and training that they're going to need, but because I believe that they are God's leaders for this time at PBC. This value of dependence on God really does influence the way that we make decisions as a church. We wait on Him. We do our best to discern His plans. You know, one of the distinctives of being a Baptist church is that we're congregationally governed. Essentially what that means is a little bit like a democracy where everyone has a say and has a vote. But can I just say, in many Baptist churches that has led to conflict and division, by the way. And can I just say at PBC, we don't do democracy. We do theocracy. Theocracy means that it is God who governs, not the people. So when it comes to making decisions, we will do our best to discern God's leading. And when we ask, when we come together as a church to vote and to make decisions on things, and we ask you to pray in the lead up, we're not just wrapping nice Christian words around that. We really are asking you to pray and to lean in with us to discern God's will together, because this is the value that we have. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." I want to finish by briefly touching on ways that we each might grow in this value of depending on God. Just begin each day just recentering in Jesus, praying into the day to come. Invite God to empower and lead you by His Spirit. Ask Him to help you recognize the places or the people where He is at work around you so that you might partner with Him. And as much as you are able, act on those inner promptings, those little inner nudges that you have. If decisions are before you, ask God about them. If there's a big decision, consider fasting as well and invite others who are people of prayer into that place of discerning with you. So can I invite you to join with us if you don't already, to lean into this value, to live this value of depending on God. Because like our Blackwater grafting guide, he knows how to lead us to the places that we didn't think possible, to bear fruit that we couldn't imagine, and to lead us and encourage us and to sustain us every step of the way. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, we just acknowledge that all of this comes back to simply abiding in you, Jesus. And so I want to pray, Lord God, for each and every one of us that we would position ourselves on a daily basis to center ourselves in you and to not just pray at you, speak at you, but to listen and to wait on you as well. Lord, I pray that you would open our ears and open our hearts, that this year in increasing ways we would hear your voice more clearly, that we would discern your promptings clearly. God, I pray that you'd fill us with courage to keep taking those steps of faith, those little actions. Oh Lord, sometimes even obedience looks like waiting as well. And so, Lord God, I just pray that we would be attentive to you in every step. And together, Lord God, as a church, I pray that we would keep seeking to be led by you, wholly dependent on you. Thank you, Lord, for the fruit that you are bearing in this place. And Lord God, we want to acknowledge that it is all the work of your hands as you lead us. And Jesus, that all glory goes to you. We love you. We honor you. We want to live our lives in line with you. We want your name to be known, Jesus, Savior of this world. Amen.